This one is a little bit longer. I think it's a very good one. It's a story. To be portrayed or not portrayed, what price must Chicanos pay for the sake of recognition? Since the discovery of the massive and ever-expanded Hispanic market during the last 5 years, I thought perhaps some substantial changes were taking place in media and advertising, particularly when it comes to making beer commercials. But now I'm afraid that regardless of how enormous the Hispanic market is, there's only a sprinkling of change taking place in the film and television industry related to how Chicanos and other Hispanic minorities are portrayed in the media or how they are not portrayed. I recently became involved in a situation that demonstrates how unrealistic it is to think that real and substantial progress in media is being made for Chicanos. A friend of mine, a Chicano who works for a film company which produces commercials, called me to ask if I knew a Chicano softball team that might be interested in doing commercial. The question made me laugh because I thought of the hundreds and hundreds of teams in L.A. that qualified. I immediately recommended the Freeway Flyers, a team my son-in-law, Frank Saldana, manages and plays with. It seemed like such a simple, non-complicated thing. The Freeway Flyers were dressed and make an appearance at the Baseball Diamonds, and taking its direction from professional film producers would be used in making the commercials. How wrong we were. Complications developed right away. The Freeway Flyers are a predominantly Chicano team. However, they have a black and an Anglo player. At first, the commercial producers were insisting on an all-Chicano team. So Frank tried to be accommodating. He recruited Chicanos at extra, which caused hurt feelings since, in this case, it was beginning to appear that it was Chicanos who were excluding others. Finally, Frank saw the need to insist the whole team be in the commercial and agreed to use the extras too, since he had already recruited them. It was, it seemed, a decent patch job in the practice of good human relations. As it turned out, this was only the beginning of a series of broken agreements and disappointed expectations that accompanied the making of the commercial. For example, it was agreed that if Frank was able to get approval to use La Mirada Park, they would film the commercial there. Then the producers wanted two teams with different uniforms, which my enterprising son-in-law arranged, though it was no small effort. The producers had even insisted that certain colors, like red, not be used in uniform. Then they suddenly dropped the idea of filming at La Mirada Park after Frank had already made arrangements and had gotten a story in the newspapers of how the Freeway Flyers were going to be used in the commercial for Stroh's beer. The day the Freeway Flyers appeared to shoot the commercial, the producers, it seemed, suddenly discovered that there's an actors' union and announced that they could only use two of the Freeway Flyers' faces. According to the filming company, it was Stroh's Beer Company representatives who were insisting that union actors be used. The remaining Freeway Flyers and extras could only contribute the sight of their feet, legs, hands, and other parts, as long as they didn't show their faces. One of the professional actors used was a Chicano of sorts, who bragged about how he never used a bat in his entire life, which was really galling to Frank and the Freeway Flyers, who loved baseball. The other actor was an Anglo who showed up with a red uniform. When Frank thought of how he almost excluded one of his loyal players, who is an Anglo, only to find that the Anglo actor was being featured. He was fit to be tied. They kept the team on a shooting site from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and by mid-afternoon, they were ready to stage a mutiny because of the insensitivity, indecisiveness, and poor practice of human relations on the part of the producers. At one point, Jaime, one of the two freeway flyers whose face was picked to be shown for a split second or two, left to make a run to the store, causing one of the assistant producers, a lady, to become visibly upset with Frank for allowing one of the members of the team to leave. Frank, being a free man and proud manager player of the Freeway Flyers softball team, was not about to take this unnecessary garbage without giving her a piece of his mind. The lady was insisting that Jaime be immediately present just as he was returning from the store in his car. He approached the parking lot. One of the Freeway Flyers facetiously remarked, "Why don't you go after him?" Much to the team's amazement, she started running in haste towards his car. It caused the entire team to laugh at the absurdity of it. Jaime at first must have thought that he was starting to get a starring role. However, after a brief conversation between the woman and Jaime, they saw Jaime taking off his shirt. It turned out that what she wanted all along was his shirt to outfit the Anglo actor who was being featured, which was a double insult to the pride of the Freeway Flyers and a real embarrassment to Jaime, who had to return to the bleachers shirtless. In short, the dream commercial deteriorated into a farce, into a nightmare in the bright light of day. It was a classic case of how innocence and good intentions can lead to the road of ruined relations and exploitation, a story of how dignity and self-pride gets lost to gross commercialism and rudeness. And all for only $78 for each of the Freeway Flyers, and $50 for the extras who may not have been members of the team but were nonetheless also humiliated. I feel like apologizing to the Freeway Flyers for suggesting them for the commercial, which is too bad since at one point they were so excited about it. They even wanted to take me out to have all the pizza and beer that I could consume in addition to attending one of their games. I asked if they wait before taking me out, or at least until the commercial was already in the can. I'm really glad I waited since the experience went so sour. I also feel compelled to suggest to Stroh's Beer Company that it began mattering to them just how much good public relation can be lost when they put themselves into the hands of commercial makers who are constantly just using Chicanos as props, like so much cactus, as Frank Saldana expressed it. I have advised him to send a separate bill to Stroh's Beer Company for all the time that he was caused undue stress and psychic suffering. He was subject to, and I'm tempted to ask, to add a 10% for my own personal disappointment and suffering. It could have culminated with such a happy ending with me and the Freeway Flyers eating pizza and drinking Stroh's beer at Mario's in Westwood, sitting across from Lila Sato. Instead, the film company and Stroh's Beer Company lost more than they can ever imagine. Frank Saldana, who is an excellent observer and storyteller, will no doubt be telling the story of the failed Stroh's Beer Company Chicana commercial to his friends and family, and will continue telling it for at least until his grandchildren have heard it a few times. They will in turn hand it down for generations to come. I'm even thinking of soliciting the interest of movie industry via script using this particular story. The way Frank tells it, it would be a big hit.